the Children's Church while they're heading out. Thank you, team. I appreciate that. Is that okay to clap? Is that okay? Well, you're okay.
Well, it's a good morning. Feel a little bit better when I can talk a little bit better. We're in the book of Hebrews this morning. The priest we so desperately need. Whose kid was that? A couple of years ago, I had a plan. It was a good plan. I was going to Korea. I was going to teach for 2 weeks. And then we had some friends. We don't call them the M word. We use the friends word. We had some friends who were in China. And my plan was to go to China and visit them for 3 or 4 days and then return here. Great plan. Great plan. Wonderful plan. Only one problem. Got over to Korea, and I found out that in order to get to China, in order to get out of the airport in Beijing, you have to have one of those things that's called a visa. And so when I was in Korea, I found out that I did not have a visa, and there was no way I was going to get into China. Well, I really did get into China. I got into Beijing, and I was about 3 or 4 hours sitting there while all these people were talking this funny language or running around trying to figure out what to do with me. I couldn't change my plane ticket, so I had to go to China, to Beijing, and then fly back to Seoul. And they were asking me, why did you fly from Seoul to Beijing, and you're going to fly back to Seoul again? And I had to try to explain that, and it didn't go very well. What I realized was if I was going to get to China, I desperately needed a visa. If I did not have a visa, I was not going into China. And there are folks today that don't realize how desperately, if you are going to get to God's heaven, you must need a high priest. And there is only one available, and I want you to know that this morning. Now, let's go ahead and look at the scriptures this morning. Sometimes I get into the scriptures, and boy, they're hard to understand. Let's see if we can follow it this morning. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, by so much more Jesus has become a surety for a better covenant. Anybody understand what I just said? I get to these things and they have these parentheses in there. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to read that again because I just don't get it. Maybe I'm slow. And so what I did was I took out the parentheses and I said, okay, now let me see if I understand what he's saying. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Okay, it's a little bit better now, but what I have there is a double negative. How many know what a double negative is? You know, okay? So here's the double negative. He was not without. And so what I do is now I think I can finally understand it. And here it is. And inasmuch as he was made priest with an oath, now I understand it. Now, how many, and be honest with me, how many have as much difficulty in reading and thinking as me? Okay, there are a couple of you that are honest. And so, folks, that's how I deal with Scripture. I want to understand it. I want to understand. Sometimes I have to work with it. Now I understand it. Now, let's go ahead and add the other parts. Let me read over this first. And inasmuch as he was made priest. Who is he? Jesus. And inasmuch as he was made priest with an oath, and we're going to look at that oath in a minute, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Now I understand a little bit better, and I understand the double negative, and I can put it all together. For they have become priests. Who's they? The Old Testament priests. And this is our parentheses in there. The Old Testament priests without an oath. They didn't have an oath. But he, with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And so what I have is this. I have someone, Jesus, who has an oath from God the Father saying, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then I have these guys. I have the earthly priests. They don't have an oath. They're by genealogy, and we'll look at that in a minute. They become a priest by their genealogy. Is there a major difference? Answer, say yes. Ready? 1, 2, 3, yes! And the author of Hebrews is going to point that out. We've already read this. Let's move on. Also, there were many priests. He's talking about Old Testament priests. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. How many expect here to be prevented from continuing by death? Okay. So we understand this. They were prevented from continuing. But he, who's he? Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily. The Old Testament priests, every day, same old thing, same old. Continual sacrifices, same thing. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, for he first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Finally, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And we'll look at those words as we move through. Again, folks, if you're here this morning, you think you're going to China without a visa, you might as well forget it. You're not going to get in. If you think, and if I think that I'm going to get to heaven without a high priest, you might as well what? I might as well forget it. It's not going to happen. I have to have a high priest. And folks, there is only one legitimate high priest. His name happens to be Jesus. And that's it. We could quit right now, but we can't do that because you want your money's worth. Well, recognize the contrast in selecting the high priest. And this is, we've looked at it, we've explained a lot of it, and so we're just going to follow through. Recognize the contrast in selecting this high priest. The Old Testament Levitical priests were selected by law. The law, the Old Testament, this is who can be a priest. They qualified exclusively on the basis of genealogy. They must be of the tribe of Levi, whether they are scoundrels or saints. And so here you have it. You have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and then you have the others who follow behind. I can't name them all. Hey, anybody can name them all? Okay, I'm safe. But only one tribe. If you are from the tribe of Levi, then you can be a priest. If you are not, then you cannot be. And really, you know what? It really, there wasn't a lot of emphasis on character. Their character and conduct could either draw the people to God or drive them away. And so in the Old Testament, there were priests who were wonderful. They were great men of God. They led the nation. They read the book to the people. They encouraged the people to do right. And there were some real losers. Eli in the Old Testament was a loser priest. Man, he didn't have anything going for him. His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were losers. And I can say that based on the authority of the Word of God. They drove people away from God instead of drawing them near. And so, what qualified them? What qualified them as priests? Their character? Answer, no. Their conduct? Answer, no. It was their genealogy. And just because they were of the tribe of Levi, they could be high priests. And so, character was not the big issue in the Old Testament. The ultimate high priest was selected by an oath. It was the Lord who swore to him. Under oath, I don't know what this looked like in the councils of heaven, but God swore to him, you are a priest today, and according to the order of Melchizedek, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. God's not going to change his mind. He has no plans to change it. He pled the pledge to preach to his son. His oath is unchangeable and eternal. The double negative affirms the reality of this oath in the most emphatic way. And folks, there is only one person in all of eternity that the Father said to, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. There's only one high priest, and it's still legitimate because he does live forever. The logical consequence is a better covenant. A law can be annulled. An oath lasts forever. This covenant has a better guarantee because it has a better guarantor. Now, you know what a guarantee and a guarantor are. Let me explain it like this. You go to the used car salesman, and it's Joe Schmo over here. And Joe Schmo, you know, he can give you a guarantee, but based on his character, you know what it's worth? Nothing. Because he's a schnook. And so his guarantee is no good, basically because the guarantor is no good. If I go to the other guy over here and I can trust him, his credentials are impeccable, I buy a car from him, he is a great guy, that means his guarantee is good because he is a good what? Guarantor. How many understand what I just said? How many would like me to explain again? No, Pastor, that's enough. Yeah, see, we understand those things. The guarantee is only as good as the guy behind the guarantee. And right here, Jesus has become a guarantor of a better covenant. He's got a better covenant. It's an arrangement made by one party, complete with complete power, with which the other party may accept or reject but cannot alter. Here's the new covenant. It's in his blood. We're going to celebrate communion today. There is a new covenant. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, what do I have to do? I have to recognize who Jesus Christ is. I have to recognize myself as a sinner. I have to believe that he died for my sins, that he rose again. I need to embrace him as my Savior. There needs to be a time when I trust him and him alone as my Savior. Now, I can accept that or reject it. I can accept the gospel or I can reject it. But I daresn't, you understand daresn't, Lancaster County? I daresn't change it. I don't have the authority to change it. It's either faith alone in Christ alone or it's nothing else. That's the new covenant. How many, let me ask you a question. To how many people is the new covenant open to? Answer, everyone. But the door is narrow. By faith. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Recognize the contrast and the stability of this high priest. The Old Testament Levitical priesthood was overcome by death. A major obstacle in their service contract was the tendency to die. People have a tendency to do that, right? We have a tendency to die. Someday I'll die. I'll go be with the Lord based upon my relationship with Jesus Christ by faith alone and him alone. Okay? You understand what I just said? That's why I'm getting in. We have a tendency to die. Death made continuity and stability impossible. Death is no respecter of person. The bottom line was always, and he died. Chapter 5 of Genesis, and he died. Excuse me, continual replacements created instability and insecurity. This is interesting. Historian Josephus counts 83 high priests from the time that Aaron was living until 70 AD, until God had the Roman general wipe out Jerusalem. 83 high priests. That means I could probably, if I lived to be 75, I could probably be under the auspices of maybe 2, 3, 4, or even 5 high priests. And folks, that's not what I want. I want continuity. I want stability. But they couldn't offer that in the Old Testament. The old ultimate high priest overcame death. The Old Testament priest was overcome by death. Death eventually caught up with him. It was just a matter of time. Hey, same with you and me, folks. Just a matter of time. And I say that again because no one knows the day or the hour that we will be taken into eternity. And folks, I'm as grieved as you are about what happened to the plane flight of 150 people. But you know what? I have no guarantee that I will make it through today. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here have a guarantee that you'll make it through today? No, you don't. Why would I take another breath without making sure that when I step into eternity, I've got my visa? I mean, I've got my guarantor. Folks, I want to be with the Lord. It is only a fool who would say, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. The high priest had dealt with and conquered death. Therefore, his priesthood is permanent. It is unchangeable. It is non-transferable. There is no one else qualified. And folks, that's the author of Hebrews. Remember, the author of Hebrews is speaking to people who were, quote, God-fearers, but they had not embraced the Messiah. Many of them. He was trying to move them on to fully embrace the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were struggling. They had a system that they liked. They had a system that they enjoyed. And what the author of Hebrews is trying to do is move them to the place where they trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Many people are comfortable in a system today. I like my system. Folks, It's not a system that will get you into glory. It's a Savior, and He's the high priest, Jesus Christ. He's the only one qualified. The logical consequence is a secure future. Our high priest offers a total salvation. His salvation is complete, absolute, eternal, comprehensive. No matter what you've done, He can save you completely and eternally. He can save to the uttermost. I heard the guy once say, He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Well, that might be true. Well, it is true, okay? But that's not what it means. He can save you completely. He can do the whole job. You have nothing to do except faith alone in Him alone. Our high priest provides uninterrupted service. How many like uninterrupted service? There's a couple places on 322 where you don't get uninterrupted service. But you know what? When Jesus Christ is your high priest, you experience uninterrupted service. He is with you. He listens to you. How does He do that? Answer, I don't know. That's an amazing thing. And folks, you think about it. You think about this. This is a staggering thing. That the God of the universe, the God who created all of mankind, the God who created the smallest little item that lives on the planet to the huge universes is huge. He knows exactly what I am thinking right now. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. That's staggering. That is incomprehensible. But it's true according to the Word of God, and I believe it. Again, our high priest provides uninterrupted service. His presence with the Father constitutes His effective intercession for us, unbroken and unending. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now, He doesn't stand there and plead with the Father to save me. I've heard the story. All He does is He saves His wounds. He shows His wounds in His hands and His side. That's enough. He is not pleading for me in glory. He's there with the Father. His presence is an intercession for you and for me. Recognize the contrast in the sacrificer. Sacrificers, if you put it on your computer screen, you'll get a red line under it because it's. I just made that word up. Okay? How many understand what a sacrificer is? You understand? Parents, how many of you are sacrificers? Every parent ought to raise their hand. You're a sacrificer. Okay? That's what we're talking about, not parents. But this morning, recognize the contrast in the sacrificers. The Old Testament sacrificer was sinful. He was a man just like you and me. Before ministering for others, he had to make sacrifice for his own sins. So when Aaron came to offer sacrifice for his people, the first thing that Aaron had to do was to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. And that's the limitation of the Old Testament priest. He was a man. The ultimate high priest is sinless, completely different from the Old Testament high priest. He did not need to offer a sacrifice for himself. Why? Because he was sinless. He had never sinned. He is holy. He possesses personal piety without pollution. He is guileless. And that word blameless or harmless, guileless, there is no deceit in him. What you see with Jesus is what you get. He doesn't hide anything. He is what he is. He is guileless, he does no evil, is morally pure and upright. He is undefiled, no evil attaches itself to him. He is morally unstained with anything that could hinder his effectiveness. He is separated from sinners. His permanent state throughout his incarnation into eternity, he never contracted sin. He lived among men, but he never contracted the disease of sin. Can you say that about any other person on the planet? Answer, no. There is no one like him. Jesus Christ is the God-man. And that's why he is super qualified to be my high priest. He is exalted higher than the heavens, his present place of priestly ministry. He is sinless. He is so different from you and from me. There is no deficiency in this priest or his ministry. His character qualifies him to represent you and me for time and eternity. Folks, when I stand before the Father, I want to stand in Christ. That's my only chance. I am a sinner. I am not what he is. I need a Savior, and so do you. There is only one. The logical consequence is a finalized salvation. He made one sacrifice for sins once for all when he sacrificed himself. Unlike all Old Testament earthly priests, and for those who would call themselves priests today, he has no need to offer a sacrifice for himself, but rather, he has offered the sacrifice of himself. Folks, I'll take Jesus any day over anyone else. Why? because he had no sin. He sacrificed himself for my sins. He paid my sin debt. He is the only one. He's the only way I'm going to get into glory. Recognize the contrast and superiority. The Old Testament high priests had weaknesses. They were unable to minister effectively because of imperfections and inadequacies. I don't know of any man who understands me completely. And you don't know of anybody else, even the one you're married to, if you're married this morning. Your spouse doesn't understand you. At least if they do, they're strange, okay? No one understands you completely. He does. He does. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you live. He knows what gives you hope. The ultimate high priest has no shortcomings. He has been perfected forever. The word perfect means fully equipped for effective ministry. He has been perfected, fully equipped for effective ministry. The logical consequence is this priest we so desperately need. I need Jesus Christ. I need a priest. If I'm going to Beijing or if I'm going to China, what do I have to have? Answer, I better have a visa. I'm not going to get in. I better have a visa or I'm not going to get in. Fully equipped to discharge an intercessory ministry at the right hand of God. This is no high priest subject to all the conditions of earthly frailty. This is the one whom God addresses as Son, whose high priesthood is absolutely efficacious and eternally suited to meet his people's needs. What does that mean? That means he's qualified to get the job done. What's the job? Getting me into glory. That's the job. He's going to get me there. Why? Because he's the only one that can, and I'm counting on it. This high priest is exactly suited to the need of us. We who are God's people, his people need cleansing from sin. True or false? I need cleansing from sin. How do I get that? Faith alone in Christ alone. So that they can enter the divine presence. They need grace for perseverance and obedience. He can give both. He is suited to meet these needs, first of all, because he himself is without sin. Folks, if you're planning on anybody else to cleanse you from sin, you're going to be very disappointed. You're going to get to the airport and find you're not getting in. There's no way you're going to get in. If you need grace, there's only one place to get it. It's at the throne of grace, Jesus Christ. It would be foolish to reject or neglect his ministry. Why go anywhere else with our need? Why go to others without first going to him? We're either children of God or we're not. Either Christ is sufficient or he is not. Let me ask you this morning a question. Are you a child of God? Answer yes or no. I would say yes. Because I'm a good person? Respond, no. Because I give money to the church? Respond, no. Because I keep the big Ten Commandments? Answer, no. I am a child of God this morning because of faith alone in Christ alone. There was a time in my life and a time in most of your lives when the gospel was presented to you. You could have either accepted it or rejected it. You heard the gospel. You knew that you were a sinner. You understood that there was no way you're going to fix yourself. You understood that Christ died for your sins and rose again. And you bowed your head and you prayed something like this. Lord God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he rose again. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and be my Savior. Folks, it's not the prayer that'll save you. It's the belief. Faith alone in Christ alone. The jailer in Philippi. What must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. Yeah, but that's so simple. You know what? I like simplicity. Don't complicate my life. Don't complicate my life. Make it simple. I want to understand it. Okay, here it is, and we just said it. Faith alone in Christ alone. Either Christ is sufficient or he's not. There's nothing you can add to what he's done. He's fully equipped to take you from here to glory. Either he is perfect in his character and service to us, or he is not. Folks, those are the only options that we have this morning. My question this morning is this. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? If you, I got this little yearbook in the Philippines when I was over a couple weeks ago, and it has all the testimonies of these Philippine kids in it, and so many of them describe a point in their life when somebody says, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And many of them said, no, they did not at that point in time. You know what they did? They received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They trusted Him. Have you done that this morning? Father, this morning I thank You again for the Word of God. I thank You for the clarity. Father, I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning that each one here would understand what we've talked about this morning. Father, they would realize that Jesus Christ is the only one who can take them into Your presence. The sinless one took care of our sin. And by faith alone and Him alone, we have salvation. And we have grace to meet every need down here. Father, bless us, not because we deserve it, but because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I ask the two young men, are we doing that this morning? They're going to come and close. Something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to ask, when we begin singing, I'm going to ask the elders and deacons, whoever's serving communion, if they would come forward. Let's go ahead and stand together. Do you want us to stand, Grant? Okay. That would be great. Grant says stand. Let's stand together as we transition. Men, if you're in the communion, please come and take your positions.
All right, so this morning we sang Cornerstone. So now we're going to close with that, but just the first verse in the chorus. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone.